creates the animal kingdom. That's the second time you'll find in those opening passages of Genesis this word that's translated created, which means from nothing. The third one is when he creates man. Now, as I've said, evolution poses no problem to me, because if they found a missing link, it still wouldn't be the one that God created. Now, we've already read in Zechariah that he formed the spirit within man. But they haven't found it. That's just a record thing. There's a new thing done three times in that creation series in the opening of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then when he says to the herbs, spring forth, and he jumps to that next form of life, animal life, the same word comes in again. He does a new thing. And when he gets done with them and comes to man, same word. He created new thing. Jacob sprang forth from the womb. Created. I'm the Lord that created thee. And I'm the Lord that formed thee. Now, that's a different word. The translators in this case are unusually accurate. The word in the original is the word that is used when a potter forms a pot. God creates the clay. A potter can work with the clay. Jacob springs forth, a burst of life. Heel touching, with that bent in his nature to look out for himself. But God goes to work on him and formed Israel. Speak of it. God was with him all the time. Lying scoundrel with his mother helping him. Deceiving his old blind dad. Running away. And there in the middle of the night comes a ladder from heaven with pinpoint precision right there where his head was on a rock. And God makes sure he gets hooked up with a bigger liar than him and a bigger cheat than him, Laban. And you ought to see those two cheats when they get together. You cheated me, Laban said. You cheated me, Jacob said. God was forming him. Finally brought him to the end of his rope and formed Israel. Hear now. For I have redeemed thee. I want you to see that God's always working on them. As we preached last Sunday, his hand's always on the clay, on the wheel. These people, if they lose perspective and fail to understand God's purposes, they can get buried in the myopic immediate problem. Believe me, I know. I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to us. Fear not. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. What is faith center if it is not the Lord's? When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. That doesn't mean you won't go through them. But I'll be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Doesn't mean you won't be threatened by them. You'll go through them, they won't overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, you mean the Lord that created thee and formed thee and redeemed thee and called thee by name and claims thee as his own. Gonna let you go through waters, rivers, fire? I don't like that. That's tough. He's not gonna like it because there's still too much of Jacob, not enough of Israel. More forming is needed. And this is part of the forming. You'll go through them, but I'll be with thee. They shall not overflow thee. Thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior.
Then he talks about future as though it's past, because this happens.
Later, I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee, since thou wast precious in my sight. What am I doing in this river then? How come I'm in this fire? If I'm so precious. Let's just stick to that fourth verse and leave the rest of it out.
I like the precious bit. Thou wast precious in my sight.
Thou hast been honorable and I have loved thee.
Strange kind of love.
Build a boat for me. You spoke the whole world in existence.
Shut up, Gene.
I even made Noah build his own boat.
Can I interpret that one?
I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. And he speaks of a time that we have seen. I want to put that footnote in so we can have strengthened our understanding that God does what he says. This doesn't speak of return from Babylon. This speaks of the return from the dispersion that occurs even after Christ, because at no time prior to Christ were they carried away or scattered to the west. I'll bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up. Bring them out of Russia. To the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone. Now listen to this. Here's where I'm going to link it to Zechariah. He is the creator. He forms us. He put his spirit in us. He stretched forth the heavens. He spread forth the earth. He has something in mind. As we said in the illustration of the potter's house. Everyone that is called by my name. Have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Three words now. I created him. I knew what I had in mind when I created him. I said it when we discussed the project. Let us make man in our image. I created him for my glory. What's my glory look like? With open face, nothing between. Paul said to the Corinthians, we behold him and are metamorphosed from glory to glory into the self-same image. We beheld his glory, John said. The glory of the only begotten. The one who had the freedom to use this vessel he moved into. For purposes other than God's purpose, but perfectly fulfilled God's purposes, bringing him glory. God's not going to change, folks. He created man for my glory, God said. Well, I thought my purpose, make money, have a career, be a musician, be an attorney. God created you for his glory. I have formed him. That's the potter's house where we left off last Sunday. I'm working on him. I'm shaping him. I'm breaking Jacob down and bringing him forth as Israel. And look at this next one. That's the third word. Yea, I have made him. That's the finished product. God already sees it. God already has the niche for you. The New Testament speaks of the church and declares it. Ye are God's workmanship. The word in the Greek is the cognate of our word poem. He's writing a poem. A preposition here, a conjunction there, a noun here, an adverb there, an adjective here. He's shaping us into a living temple to be put on display in eternity. And God already has the finished product in mind. Look at those people that Zechariah talked to. He had the end product in mind. He knew what they were going to have to go through. Those people building that temple were part of the process. But one of these days, they would look on him whom they had pierced and would begin to mourn. And God's purposes would be fulfilled, and a fountain would hope open for that house of David for salvation and removal of sin. Israel, in Isaiah's words, moving into a problem time. When you go through the water, I'll be with you. Through the rivers, they'll not overflow you. Through the fire, ye shall not be burned. I created you. I formed you. I made you. How come you can preach that, Scott, and then on Tuesday when the water is gurgling up there, you look like you're going to drown? Because I'm a cold-backed bronc without too much brains in that area, but I still know what the truth is. And as long as I stay in the corral, he'll get me under. Do your bucking in the corral. Don't jump the fence. I almost did last night. In fact, I left the set and figured out how many hours it would take me today to be in Sydney, Australia. So I'm still here. One more. Still mixing the pot. See why I have to end up with a wash tub? Go to Romans. See, that's all Old Testament. Okay, here's some new. Therefore, being justified by faith, that means taking God at his word of what was said in this fourth chapter about Abraham, who considered not a man not dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform. Therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. And it was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. That is, held by God as though it were true. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised for our justification. So if we'll just believe God, faith makes us justified. And God looks at me and you as though we were Jesus, and imputes, stamps onto us the rightness of Christ. So we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's no longer against us. He created us. We marred the creation and went our own way. And God had enmity. But the wrath of God fell on Jesus. And taking God at his word to now take us as though we're as righteous as Jesus, we have justification, being held as right by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. No more war from his side. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We literally, as moving out of darkness into a spotlight of, though it's in a stage and the light has come down, by faith we have access into a sphere where unmerited favor pours upon us. Boy, that's good news. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We're going to be glorified. Now, isn't that what God said he created us for? We're born with a purpose. And we depart this life into an inheritance. And in between, we're justified by faith, have peace with God, and we have access by faith into a sphere of grace. And we rejoice in hope for the glory of God. And I got a whoopee fit right there if I'd stop. Not only so, we glory in tribulations also. Oh, there's the forming process. The word is tribulum in Latin, which is the root cognate for it, which is the rod, as you've heard me say before, that's used to whack against the sheaves of grain to beat the chaff from the wheat. Whack! Oh, we're justified and have peace and access into grace and rejoice and hope for the glory. And we glory also in whackings. Whack, whack, whack. Hallelujah. Whack, hallelujah. Whack. Woo! That means we're not formed yet. Still in the forming process. Woo! Whack. Word of glory in it, knowing that whacking worketh patience. That's a terrible word. That isn't the word. Whackings worketh brightness. Oh, it's gonna kill me. And the whacking's over and I'm still here. Hallelujah. Oh, give Mark glory in the hope that we have of being in his image. Whack! Woo! You're going to kill me. Whack! Woo! Whack! Oh, it's going to kill me. Whack, 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 whack. My Lord on heaven's mercy hill, I did make it. I thought it'd kill me. But here I am. Here comes another one. Whack! You know, I made it through that one. I may make it through this one. About 40 trips. Dave told me they used to play football. They had something they called Burma Road. When somebody on the team got out of line, he had just everybody lined up, and Burma Road gave every guy on the team a shot at him. Well, here it came. Whack, whack, whack. How long do you have to get back up smiling and play, Dave? Huh? About a second. They found out what stuff was there. And if he survived the first Burma Road, I'm sure the poor guy went to the shower. After a while, he found out he could take it. That's tridentness.
WWCR, Nashville, Tennessee, USA.
And patience experience. The fact of having been tried. The realization after a while, none of it is going to kill me. That's why that the more mature the saint, the more he's tried in God's book. You know why I know I haven't got experience? Because when the whack comes after a while, I still say, "Whoa!"
I ain't the only one. You know, I'm being ludicrous because I want to make a point. But as long as you squeal like that, as long as you see me squeal. You know, I'm still in the patience phase. I haven't got to experience. Because experience is when you have come to that point where there's no equivocation in it. Paul is able to say it after a while. I can't do ours through Christ which strengthens me. Who in the world thinks that God wants to turn loose on the universe
some of the marshmallows that are being bred in the Christian frame today. All they've got is blessing packs, Jesus junk, healings, feelings, squealings. One whack would kill them. And God sent his son to walk a rugged path as the captain, literally the first goer of our salvation. And we're going to rule and reign with him. And the pattern of glory is his pattern. Who endured the cross for the joy that lay ahead. God is bringing forth saints like that, who will bring forth his glory. And the way you get there is packings. Last Sunday we said the way you get there is being splatted on that wheel, and God works on you, forming you. Now Paul puts it in the harvesting phrase. The wheat comes forth. Peter will talk of the refining fire, where the treasure comes out of the fire. That treasure, that is the medium of exchange in God's courts. They died in coming forth as pure gold. That could ever make me both understand it irrevocably and preach it until it could be understood, what Christianity really is, we would see how far modern Christianity has departed from God's plan. This is the path. We glory in tribulum, whack, 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 knowing that it worketh, hiding us, ability to endure. The first whacking, we knew we had not met. The second whacking, we thought we had. The third whacking, we had our doubts. The fourth whacking, we started having hope. The fifth whacking, we expected to make it. Sixth, seventh, we knew we'd make it. The eighth, it was a matter of course. We now had moved to experience. We knew we'd make it. And experience gave the hope that we shall be as he is over there. Hope maketh not ashamed. I asked it a little over a year ago. I'm going to ask it again. What do you want to be? A hoopy Christian or a wacky Christian? God's ways to whack the stuffing out of it. That the Jacob he created, which is you, will be formed into the Israel that's under his control. And he can turn this universe over to those of us that he made in his image. That's what Christianity is. The in between, he's with us all the way.
Watching the University Network. The phone number to call is 1-800-338-3030. That's 1-800-338-3030.
Thank you.
1-800-338-3030 to make your